This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Wonder if by keeping a mask on and keeping it in place that if I might have put some of the virus onto the mask and breathed it in. I don't know, but I got it. We'll see what happens from here. But I do feel once somebody has been found to have the coronavirus, that they should wear a mask. Preferably not even be in public, but if they are, absolutely wear a mask.
What if Joey Gohmert refuses to wear a mask, then he tests positive for COVID-19. The Texas Republican got the diagnosis right before he was supposed to get on a plane with the press to come from the White House to Texas. So there you go. Mask on, mask off. I've talked about it so much on this show. I know not everybody agrees. This audience is split. I have to say, wear the damn mask. And he is a perfect example of that. How many people have died with COVID-19? 153,000 in the U.S. The good news is 2.21 million have recovered. Love to see that number higher. Confirmed cases, 4.51 million. Do you know anybody who's come down with the coronavirus? Has somebody in your life been touched by it? I'm starting to get a lot of emails of people who have gone through the struggle. The president says wear the mask. The president is wearing the mask. He's talked about it. When you're in situations where you can't social distance. Because of Gohmert, now the rule on the Hill is you have to wear a mask. So there's no mystery in that. It's interesting because this, of course, has been so much of the conversation that we've had here on the airwaves, but you know how I roll. I got to look at the optimistic side of it. I'm all about looking at your freedoms, my freedoms, and some of the other nonsense that's going on in the U.S. and, of course, other places and how ultimately it affects us. So I appreciate all the support and all of the emails that we've gotten to pump that up. You know, these parties, that's the key thing. It's so smart of so many people to not go to some of these parties. 17, so it's not just always kids, by the way. 17 Florida doctors got COVID-19 after a private party. Yeah. So, you know, that whole quote, like somebody said to me, I probably heard this three times during the day, physician, heal thyself. Constantly you hear that, right? So there was a gathering of 17 anesthesiologists, and one tested positive for the virus, then 18 healthcare workers from the anesthesiology department at the University of Florida Health. So that's what happened. See, not thinking, wow, these are doctors. They're recovering at home. Think about that. And, of course, what are they going to say? The hospital says we wish them a speedy recovery, but house parties, social gatherings, they are the major risk factors, people, in the spread of coronavirus. So it gives party goers a false sense of security that they're safe among the people that they know, and they're not safe. And this is what happens. This is some of the worst spread that we've seen tied to parties, and consistently this is where it's coming from. All right, as we kind of traverse in a couple of different directions here on the show coming up, we're going to take you to another country once again and get a couple of minutes on what's happening with COVID in, you know, their neck of the woods, because certainly the world is dealing with this, not just the U.S. The cases worldwide, 16.9 million, deaths, 665, recovered 9.8 9.9 million. The good news is vaccine conversation is heavy and it's optimistic, and we know the tests are ongoing. We've talked about that at times. We've looked at it from lots of aspects, and many of you are on board with that. Get it, know what's happening with Moderna, etc., and we'll see what happens with the tests and how quickly, especially if they really see success with it, they can jump out of that quickly and then start working on dosages and getting them to people and all of that. But it's so easy to jump the gun and think, oh, wow, let's just roll, let's go. But it's not, you know, proven yet. It just is looking good. Let's put it that way. So while all of this is happening, and including, by the way, tropical storms are kind of surrounding us in Florida, they've got a forecast for a tropical storm. That sort of cone that goes up the coast is predicting that the tropical storm could hit Florida, and then they deal with the floods if that's the case. At least if it doesn't develop into a hurricane, that's something to certainly look at. Sports coming back. NBA in the bubble. They're getting ready for the relaunch, feeling like they can make it happen. So 4 months after COVID-19 sent basketball into this unprecedented shutdown, the NBA took a kind of a wild leap into the unknown to resurrect what was going on. And all through Disney World in Florida, the Utah Jazz launched a rebooted campaign against the Pelicans before LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard go head-to-head in the Los Angeles duel of the Lakers and the Clippers. The two are the start of what will be this kind of carefully crafted, carved-out basketball season, safely, they say, or hope, in the midst of this ongoing pandemic. And it would be great to see it work because it's such a contact sport to me. When you look at 22 teams in this bubble in a 40-square-mile campus in Orlando, trying to mitigate the risks of that, and teams will play at three venues inside this complex, inside the park, no fans in attendance, and just a couple of journalists at each game. But it's 350 players housed at three hotels throughout Disney World. This is a big test on a lot of different levels. Trust me, there are a lot of eyes on this, not just people from the sports world, but others to see how successful this is and does it work, because this is what we're looking for through the lens of where are we headed, how do we stop the spread. This is a very long, hard road already that we've been down. We don't want it to get any worse, and we are pinning hopes on vaccines and scientific discoveries, and what we learn every day is something different, including the after effects, because that's something that hasn't been talked about very much. What happens to your lungs? What happens to breathing? What happens when somebody who's 20-something walks like they're 60-something because they just can't catch their breath, even though they've recovered, even though they've recovered, like I said, a long, long road back. All right, coming up on the show in this hour, we got all kinds of things, including the mailbag, chock full. Once again, remember, you can always send me your thoughts, Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Again, Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. We got you covered. Coming up, a conversation about what's happening elsewhere with COVID-19.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus.
That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. Coronavirus and what's been happening to people in other parts of the world and what's been happening, obviously, here in the United States. Katie O'Connor's with us, and she's coming up later in the show, and her book is called Snow Falls, and her nom de plume is K.A. O'Connor. She's in Brisbane, Australia. And Katie, so my question is, what's it like in Brisbane? How has the virus affected life there?
The virus hit pretty hard, but now we've been clean for a couple of months now. The other parts of Australia are struggling. We just in Melbourne and Sydney, they've had 520 cases over the last couple of days. But Brisbane, we're doing pretty good so far.
Is that because people are social distancing, wearing masks, or what? Why is that?
They did close the borders around Australia. They slowly started to let people through only with a pass, but everyone, I think mainly because the Ruby Princess did go into Melbourne, so that has stayed there.
Right, so that stuck with people probably. And then there was also the big story in the very, very beginning of this about Tom Hanks, the famous actor, and his wife Rita Wilson, who were in Australia, and they got COVID-19. And I think Australians reacted to that. Do you think so?
Oh, definitely. Anyone like that, people were worried, and people were talking about it for ages, about poor Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Yeah, because, poor Tom Hanks, because he was writing, he was happy to be in Australia, and then he was writing what happened, and then that just kind of highlighted that, I think.
He got stuck here for a little bit.
Yeah, he got stuck, absolutely. Well, we're glad to hear that things are good there, and we can't wait to talk to you later in the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, so you heard what she had to say about Brisbane and how they dealt with what's happened, the virus, at least, you know, from their purview. And of course, it's different whether you're talking about Sydney or Melbourne or any of that, as, you know, we were talking about. And just like the U.S., where you have hot spots and then you have other areas that, they seem right now anyway, a lot less, I'll call it scary. In Texas, they have over 6,000 deaths. In Texas, in fact, they've got 6,763 deaths. So that number has jumped up significantly. In New Jersey and New York and in Connecticut, you know, you're talking about in New Jersey over 15,000. I've said this a couple of times. In New York, 32,000 deaths. That was our biggest. And then they've managed to get through that after lots of social distancing, lots of masking, lots of the lockdown, et cetera. But then we're seeing now what's happening to these other states that have gotten so much hotter, like California, 8,902, and of course Florida, 6,332. I'm not going to read all the grim statistics to you. You just know that there are areas where it's bad, and a lot of it has to do with what I talked about in the last segment, where you've got these parties, these hot spots that have bubbled up because people go to parties, and they could be doctors, they could be whoever, family gatherings, thinking that they're invincible, they're okay. Somebody comes into the party setting and they don't realize that they have COVID, and then they pass it on to family members, and sometimes it ends up where a family member is on a ventilator and it's touch and go. We've heard way, way, way too many of those stories. It's a very strange beast that we're fighting in this COVID-19 because it's your relatives who are in danger. It's the people that you care about that are in danger if you have, if you have no idea that you've got it. In fact, I mentioned, you know, California and Los Angeles, especially, they're so concerned that the city council is considering paying Angelenos who test positive for COVID-19 to stay home. They're talking about, let's just establish this fund, $25 million, calling it a wage replacement program. And regardless, by the way, of income, immigration status, criminal record, you know, whatever it is, to be eligible, they'd have to agree to self-isolate and provide public health info to Los Angeles County, to a contact of one of the tracers. But because of communities where low-income immigrants are more likely to become infected and they suffer the higher mortality rate, they're trying to figure out how do we stop this and how do we get out of this crisis so we can get working again and we don't have people taking this virus home to others. So how do we bend this curve and make it possible? And the way to do that is to come up with some kind of an assistance fund. So if you have it, to pay you to stay home so you wouldn't go to work because you are positive, and then tracing it, watching it, and seeing who else you possibly could have come in contact with, and hopefully not anyone, because you get it, you get the fund, and then that's it, and they know, and you're in the system, and how many people would take advantage of that, and how do they get that information out there? But it's serious, what they're talking about as a way to upend some of the problems that they're having. I got to talk about high tech and the House tech hearing. Really exploded, which is so interesting. Many of you have that relationship with tech where you're like, you know, this is ridiculous, some of the things that are happening. So the House antitrust hearing kind of went south, as they say, when one Democrat started to swipe at Jim Jordan for his line of questioning to the Google CEO, And Jordan opened up by saying, is Google going to tailor its features to help Joe Biden in the 2020 election? And the response from the Google CEO was, we think political ads are an important part of free speech and democratic society, and we engage with campaigns. You know, according to law, we approach our work in a non-partisan way. So they went back and forth about that. And it was interesting. Jordan asked for assurances that they wouldn't tailor that platform to help Biden, that they wouldn't use the platform to silence conservatives. Because, you know, there's always those accusations like Facebook, what happened last time around with Facebook. And now Google getting questioned about, well, what are you doing with this? And then you had somebody else, a Congresswoman Scanlon from New York, who, before confronting Jeff Bezos over Amazon's acquisition of diapers.com, made a point of saying, I'd like to redirect your attention to antitrust law rather than fringe conspiracy theories. So there were all kinds of shouts that were coming out from the peanut gallery. And it's probably the most sports that we've seen on the Hill in a very, very long time. There were all kinds of questions about you know, technology just in general, and again, more of where are the sites pointing, etc., what's happening politically speaking, and, you know, everything in between. Kodak has not been part of the conversation a very long time. You know, it used to be that you took pictures and then you took them in and they got developed. And what did you get? You had film, and you had the film that was in the yellow canister that said Kodak in it, on it rather. And of course, that's not the case now. Kodak, however, back and kind of roaring. Their stock rose so fast that it tripped 20 circuit breakers in a single day. So the enormous rally, because they're going to be transformed into a pharmaceutical producer under the Defense Production Act on Tuesday of this week. Remember, the president announced that they would get $765 million in a loan to launch Kodak Pharmaceuticals, and they'll produce generic active pharmaceutical ingredients to reduce America's dependency on what's drug makers, foreign drug makers. So they shot up like a 200% jump is what it was up to. And then on Wednesday, they ended up 318% up. So the New York Stock Exchange, that's what we talk about, the you know, trip in the circuit. The New York Stock Exchange halted trading the shares 20 times throughout the trading session on Wednesday, and it climbed more than 650% at its highest. That'd be nice if you had a little bit of Kodak. But then you think about where they were. They filed for bankruptcy in 2012. And now they restructured their business the following year, and boy, this has really made them bounce back. They said the company's going to hire 359 workers, most in New York State, and create 1,200 indirect jobs. 1,200 indirect jobs. Wow, wow, wow. All right, stay with us. We're headed for the mailbag.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Before leaving for Texas to go to a campaign fundraiser, President Trump praised plans to remove thousands of U.S. troops from Germany. He told reporters Germany owes money to NATO, but that was a lie.
Germany owes billions and billions of dollars to NATO. And why would we keep all of those troops there? And now Germany's saying it's bad for their economy. Well, it's good for our economy.
The Pentagon plans to move thousands of troops back to the U.S. and thousands more to other locations in Europe. German military expert and journalist Tommen Wiegold sees the action as an attempt to punish Germany.
My impression is that the Pentagon had orders to fulfill Trump's wishes to punish Germany and went as far as they could go without endangering their military interests in Europe.
This is USA Radio News. More than 150,000 lives have now been lost from COVID-19 in the U.S. More than 20 states are currently ranked as red zones with severe outbreaks. There's now renewed concerns about protocols on Capitol Hill after Congressman Louie Gohmert tested positive for the virus, just as the Texas Republican was preparing to travel to Texas with the president.
Now that I apparently have it, I will be very, very careful to make sure I don't give it to anybody else.
Gohmert has been known not to wear a mask at the Capitol, but he says he did wear it on Tuesday during a House hearing with the Attorney General William Barr. Congressman Hakeem Jeffries remembering his colleague John Lewis, whose body has made its way to Georgia.
We continue to mourn the loss of our hero, our colleague, our friend, our mentor, the legendary American, the Honorable John Lewis.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, here we go. We're opening the door. It's pretty heavy right now. All right, let's get to this first one. Pat says, hey, Kate Delaney, did you hear about Louie Gohmert? I'm a Republican, and I think he needs to jump off the ship. What was he thinking? What a knucklehead. What an idiot, and I'm being very cautious what I'm saying. Kate, I don't understand it. He walks around the Capitol without a mask, swaggering all over the place, and then the idiot tests positive for coronavirus. He's not doing any Republicans any favors, and especially since he was scheduled to fly with the president to Texas, and luckily that pre-screen at the White House caught it. Yikes. There's no accounting for common sense. Louie, what are you thinking? You know, it's interesting because he told CNN, and I didn't realize this, but I saw it today. He told CNN in June, if I get it, you'll never see me without a mask. So now, of course, he's going to be the Lone Ranger with the mask around his neck. Seriously, once he comes back, because now he's quarantined, and you know, there you go. And so that's what now everybody is going to be required to use face coverings. That's what they're saying anyway. In May, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell turned down the administration's offer of rapid testing for the Capitol. So And then you had people declining to use face coverings. Louis was one of them. And now you see what's happened as a result of that. And then, you know, you do the tracing thing and then see who he's come in contact with. All right, this one is from Sarah. And Sarah says, Kate, I heard an interview that you did. I thought it was quite good with a woman from China News. And you were talking about some of what's happening, the suspicion with in Houston and with other embassies and burning of documents. And this is nothing new, right? We don't trust the Chinese. We don't believe that the Chinese are not here in some form and fashion of any way they can to steal whatever our intellectual property is or to spy on us, right? I hope people understand that this is, that consulate incident was nothing out of the ordinary, except for it was extraordinary that they had a dumpster fire, and then it just kind of ignited the whole conversation. What you said there, absolutely. The fact that they had a dumpster dump was so crazy, and it does make you wonder. And the question is, was the Chinese consulate a hotbed of economic espionage? And notice I said economic espionage, because that's the key. Was it, were they stealing proprietary information and sending it back, processing it, you know, whatever. So using, you know, doing whatever they could to burn everything in sight is baffling, except for if they were concerned about any of it getting out. And so to me, that's what it says, and that's why the consulate was closed. Because supposedly, now here's what I've heard, supposedly it was, and this isn't a secret now, at this point, it was a hub of spying and intellectual property ripoffs. That's what it was. And I think other consulates could end up closed as a result of it. I mean, there were hundreds of economic espionage related cases brought across the country in the past few years. We just don't, you know, don't talk about it that much, but lots of them. There was a 17-month FBI investigation involving scientists at Houston's MD Anderson Cancer Center that ended up with no criminal charges, but that was a big one. And, of course, MD Anderson Cancer Center is the mecca, is the place you go for the best and brightest doctors when you have cancer. That's where people, one of the places that people tend to go. I mean, just that smoke, the dumpster thing. Yeah, it was it's more than a red flag. Hey, we're here. We're burning the documents before you get here, before you figure out how you can get to us. So it's a good thing. Boot them out. Boot them all out if that's what you have to do. And, of course, they're going to retaliate, and it's going to be the same thing that's going to happen to the U.S. as well. All right, this one is from David. Kate, I haven't emailed the show before. I hope that I don't have eggs thrown at me. I love how you say left of left, right of right. I notice that you do sometimes get the what I'll call left caller, but you definitely have lots of people who would be called Republicans or conservatives. I'm sort of in between. I am curious about Vice President Joe Biden and this whole thing with Kamala Harris, and is she going to be the VP or not? Because supposedly there was some information that got out just based on what somebody happened to oversee on some talking points for Biden. What do you know about that? What I know is that you don't leave your notes hanging around. And that's what happened. Joe Biden, who of course is the presumptive nominee, was captured on Tuesday holding a note with Senator Kamala Harris's name printed across the top with some talking points like the email said, including do not hold grudges. That's what it said. Do not hold grudges. There were other points about Harris. Campaigned with me and Jill. Talented. Great help to the campaign. Great respect for her. And of course, Harris was a Biden rival when she was running her own campaign for president. But now she's one of the top contenders for the vice president. You got to just think, do not hold grudges, right? Because they kind of went after each other in a few of those debates. And when you look at that, it does, I mean, is he just has notes and he's got them written down? He happened to be thinking about her and they were doing the old Ben Franklin, the pros and the cons? Or is that a hint to come that she is the the choice for Biden. I don't know. Very, very strange, right? It could be. I mean, who knows? Talkers Magazine asked me what I thought, you know, talking about Republicans and Democrats and who did I think the VP was going to be. And I said her, and they kind of, a lot of people kind of poo-pooed that thinking it was going to be somebody else. I mean, who knows? And I, as I have said before, normally is the VP pick heavily, is there a lot of concentration on them? Sometimes, if the campaign thinks it's going to help them. I remember Sarah Palin, and initially that was a big boost to John McCain, and then that went in the other direction. But initially she was incredible, and especially speaking at the convention. All right, this one is from Heath. He says, hi, Delaney. I listen to you in New Orleans. I love it when you mention crawfish and you mention your love for things Louisiana. And especially I heard you talk one time about those gators. Yeah, the gators are coming out more to play because of the situation that we're all in. Here's my question for you, Dahl. Do you think we're going to have an NFL season? And if we do, how do you think my Saints are going to do? Well, wow. So now I'm going to make a prediction on the Saints. I don't know. I would love to think that we will have an NFL season because I believe that sports is, especially now, it's a good distraction, right? It helps the mental health. I really do. I do believe that. It's probably be without, for sure, without fans or sparse amounts of fans. It's all systems go for now, but it's a contact sport. And to me, I just keep coming back to that. How do you have, I don't know, how do you have an NFL season with all those players and personnel attached to each other? How do you do that and not risk it? I mean, I don't understand. I think it's going to be tougher than even baseball. And look at all those Marlins, 17 of them that tested positive. And if I look at the Saints, I mean, the Saints are good. I look at their, if I were to even look at the top of their schedule off the top of my head, I know they've got the Raiders. That would be a huge one in Vegas. But they have a tough schedule. And I think, you know, you think 13-3 last time out. I have to think that the Saints would have a shot, right? Certainly in the South, they should win the South, the NFC South, but after that, who knows? Let's see if there's a season first. Let's see if there's a season. And by the way, if there is a season, we will do Nail the Score, and we'll do that on our Tuesday show where you call in, you get to guess the final score of whatever game I pick as the game of the week. If you nail it, you clean out the prize closet. And we have some great prizes. We haven't had winners in a couple of years, so that would be super amazing if we had a winner or a couple of winners this next time around. All right, this one is from Jake. Kate, haven't had a chance to email you lately. I'm wondering if you're up on all the scams. Sadly, people take advantage, especially in the pandemic, and now more than ever, I think it's good to warn people of possible scams. Yeah, there's all kinds of scams where they make you think, you know, you get calls, this is the IRS, we need to speak to you. The IRS is not doing that. Anything that says, do not hang up the phone, this is whoever, and they make it sound official, be very careful about that. Be careful about clicking links. That's another way. And they can suck you into something. The new COVID scams are, you know, gosh, credit card information and surveys. Never, ever, ever give that out. Refunds for canceled events and travel. Non-delivery of orders from closed vendors. I mean, if they can dream it up and think about it, then it's happening. And I think that there's a lot of people that are scamming people with however they can get you to open up your wallet and spend some dough for whatever that scam is, because it sounds good, it sounds like you need it, they scare you. I mean, I think that's the main thing, scaring people. Never, ever give out your Social Security numbers. Never give out your credit card numbers unless you have really, really double-checked, I mean, everything. All right, we're wrapping up the hour on the flip side. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hall of Famer Steffi Graf is the only player to win each Grand Slam four times. I'm Kate Delaney, and this is her story. Former German tennis player inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame in 2004, Steffi Graf set all kinds of records that may never be broken, including being ranked number one in the world for 377 weeks by the Women's Tennis Association. Along with Margaret Court, the two are the only tennis players to win three Grand Slams in a calendar year, five times among male and female players. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Yeah, Steffi Graf, she was an ace, as they say. You know, tennis is interesting in talking about sports and sports bouncing back. Major tennis tournaments, of course, have been canceled. But, you know, what will happen with the U.S. Open. A lot of people are saying they don't want to play, including world number one, Ashley Barty, who has confirmed she's not going to play in the U.S. Open because of the coronavirus pandemic. And, you know, tennis, I think, is one of those maybe iffy sports. You think of, you know, ball boys running around on the court, the balls, how many times they're touched and exchanged by different people. But in the case of the number one woman in the world, she said, I love this event. It's so difficult, but I don't feel comfortable putting my team in that position. And she said, I wish the USTA all the best for the tournament and look forward to being back in the U.S. next year. I'll make my decision on the French Open and surrounding Women's Tennis Association European tournaments in the coming weeks. And, of course, the U.S. Open, which I've broadcast from many times, starts on August 31st and will be held in Flushing Meadows, New York, played without fans in attendance to limit the spread of the virus. Will there be more players like Ashley Barty who decide they don't want to do it? We've seen this in other sports. We've seen this in the NFL. We've seen it in Major League Baseball. Buster Posey, the number one player really for the Giants, didn't want to put his family at risk with new babies. And David Price, same thing for the Dodgers. And in the NFL, there are a few guys that have also said that they don't want to play. Look at the Patriots. They're being decimated because so many players are saying, yeah, I think I'm going to not play this year. I can't put my family at risk, and I don't want to do it. How many others are going to follow suit? So it's not just about a sport, a professional sport, saying we're back, we've got protocols in place, people are wearing masks, we're doing this, we're sanitizing. It's also about whether or not the athlete will come back. How about the feds, and will they come back or not? The Oregon governor says, Kate Brown, that she reached an agreement with the Trump administration for federal officers to gradually withdraw from downtown Portland, where they've clashed with protesters. To that story, there were so many people to that end that were excited to see that, okay, well, that makes sense. Let's just slowly pull this thing apart, and it looks like that has a great chance of working much better than the tensions that were ratcheting up. And at the same time, you know, what we've heard from others is, well, they're not completely leaving until that courthouse is secured. So that has to happen. And that's what Chad Wolf, the acting Homeland Security Secretary, said. In fact, I think I caught him on Fox News. He said, this is inconsistent. We're not leaving until we know that courthouse is safe. When we know it's safe, then we're going to do it. And the president said, listen, for all the heat that they've taken, he said Portland would be burned and beaten to the ground if the federal officers from the Department of Homeland Security that we deployed to the city last week weren't there. And he tweeted out, if the federal government and its brilliant law enforcement didn't go into Portland 1 week ago, there wouldn't be a Portland. It would be done. If the mayor and governor don't stop the crime and violence from the agitators, immediately the federal government will go in and do the job that they were supposed to do. So it is interesting. You look at the use of federal law enforcement without the permission of the state's governor, and then this whole thing about the kidnapping as opposed to arresting, and what some of the descriptions have been from some of the people, and what is an arrest? And you go to what an arrest is, and the person who's arrested, and what is the probable cause of the crime, and who are the arresting officers, and then you break it down, you know, from there. Were the activities in Portland unlawful, unconstitutional, and harmful? I mean, that's the thing. If it's orderly protests, then this is where the argument begins. So if the U.S. agents are going to start leaving, if they're getting that together and they're working together like we've seen in Chicago, that would be a good start to the end, to a horrible nightmare that's happened in Portland, and it's been going on for far too long. Crowds being hit with tear gas, peaceful during the day, and then, of course, night. And look, you know that there's going to be nefarious people that are going to edge in there, and they're starting something. Because why? Because that's what they want to see happen. And then, unfortunately, there's other people that get caught in that crossfire, and that's what you don't want to see. And it is a problem. I mean, it's a problem in tackling. What do you do? Do you just let a courthouse fall? And, of course, the answer to that is no. Do you let innocent people who are just calmly protesting and doing what their rights call for? No. How do you cherry pick who, I'll call them, the bad guys are? It's much more difficult in a hazy situation, you know, or in the wee hours. And it is a lesson to so many other cities. How do you turn this around? How do you not get to this point? Could anything have been done to not have it get to that point? I mean, that's ultimately, the biggest question. Could that have been shut down? Could it have been shut down? All right, I'm going to end on this note because I've talked about the vaccine. We talked about aspects of it and Moderna saying, because people are wondering about the pricing of it, and they're saying they plan to price their experimental coronavirus vaccine so that it ensures broad access, that they don't want to conduct late-stage trials of the vaccine outside of the United States. They began the government-backed trial on Monday, as you know. There are a handful of companies that have started final testing of their vaccines on tens of thousands of healthy volunteers, and the chief executive officer is not commenting on the specific price of the vaccine because analysts were wondering, okay, what's it going to be priced at, da da da, just that they're aware of their obligation during the pandemic phase to be responsible in how they price it. So, I don't know, maybe that's a good thing, right? 50 to 60 per course, 11 more than Pfizer or BioNTech. That's kind of what's leaking out, that's what they're going to price it at. But look, the late stage trial's on track. The company has seen lots of interest from clinical sites, so that's good. I mean, at this point, isn't it what we want to see happen, although not everybody is going to want to take the vaccine? I've had those conversations, too. And then how do you enforce that? And how odd would that be? Imagine trying to tell people they have to take the vaccine. What, do they go door to door and pull people out? You would think if it goes through all those trials and is safe and we want to get the economy going again, that more people would be willing to do that and we wouldn't have the fear of that vaccine. Speaking of fear, the Baylor University is requiring students to have negative virus tests, and they're fearful of, we don't want a bunch of people running around with COVID infecting faculty and others, and other students, so they're requiring all of their students to have negative tests before they come back to campus. They made that announcement. They're encouraging them to take the tests once they get them. They're sending kits, an overnight shipping package for students to send the test to a lab, which would take 48 hours to process the results, and they're going to go from there. 18,000 students are getting those test kits. Woo! Thanks for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. Big shout out to Mo Flam.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com.
or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.